Okay, today we're going to talk about the fourth chapter in this book, which I assume you're all reading along. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell the story of how we came to be reading this book, working our way through this book this year. And it all started when I decided I needed to shift the energy in my house a little bit. And so I boxed up all my books and prepared my house to get painted. And then it came time to, we were going to meet as practitioners and talk about what we were going to talk about in the upcoming year. And I was sure it was going to be something Holmes. Mm-hmm. But this book, for some reason, never got into a box. And it was sitting out on top. So I started looking at it, and you know, the first thing I noticed is, for me, it's a lot clearer and easier to read than any of the Holmes books are. Mm. He's a good writer. He's a clear thinker, and he certainly knew Holmes, I'm sure. But I thought, well, this would be really good, and it's structured as a textbook. It's got questions. It's got little summaries and things like that. So this book by Dr. Frederick Bales, I thought was an excellent book to focus on this year. So the fourth chapter is about the creative process. And I have to be honest with you, sometimes my mind gets a little wrapped around the axle on this one because it can be very esoteric. It's hard to think about unless you put it in concrete terms. So today I'm going to try to put it in more concrete terms. And maybe you can, from there, take it and figure out how it relates to your life, how it can improve your life. We're going to talk a little bit about Thomas Troward, a man I have fallen in love with. Too bad he's been dead for...
Oh, that's good.
I hate it when that happens.
And why he's important to the teaching that we have today. And this... And also, starting to approach this chapter and to work with the principles of the creative process over and over again helps us to treat or pray with authority or use our thoughts deliberately. So, I noticed in the first few chapters, he talks a lot about your thoughts and how to improve on them and how to think what you want to think to get the results you want as opposed to going down the worry path. So, in this chapter, he refers to a book written by Thomas Troward called The Creative Process in the Individual. Now, you have to have a very clear mind to be able to read this, and a lot of these books are available for 99 cents through Amazon, and indeed, this particular book is available along with books by other New Thought thinkers, including his student. So you may want to take a walk through Amazon. It's a very inexpensive journey. And if you have a Kindle, download them, or a Kindle app on your computer, you can download the books and start reading them. So Troward lived from 1847 to 1916. So he would have been a contemporary of Holmes's early life. So he was born to British parents in India, but his dad was a colonel in the Indian Army. But like most Brits born in India, he went back to England to study, and he eventually became studied law, became the assistant commissioner to the divisional judge of the Punjab for 25 years. So he's often referred to as Judge Troward. But he also spent many years studying a lot of important spiritual writings of various faiths, such as the Christian Bible, the Quran, Hindu and Buddhist works. So he would have had a lot of access to these materials living in India as he did. And when he was in England, he had to take a test in metaphysics as part of his studies. He'd never had a course. And so he didn't have time to study. So what he did was he got up early and meditated and meditated and meditated, took the test, and the teacher said, "Where did you get this material?" And he said, "The world is going to hear about you again." So the amazing thing to me is that Troward thought of all the things that he did at a time when other people who are also not in communication, now we have a lot of tools that allow us to communicate back and forth. He didn't. He was by himself pretty much. He didn't have a study group to talk to. Maybe he had, you know, some yogis or swamis he could talk to, but you know, somehow it just happened through his own meditation and reading. So his most famous book that we read in practitioner training is the Dore Lectures. Is that
Edinburgh and Dore Lectures?
Edinburgh and Dore. Yes.
Edinburgh and Dore Lectures.
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh is how they say it. Yeah,
okay.
True.
It's spelled Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But you get the picture.
Dore. D-O-R-R-Y. Dore.
D-O-R-E.
With an S.
Yeah. He spends a lot of time trying to address the subject of what happened before there were people or things in the universe. And this is where my mind stopped working after a while, because it was a little more than I could fathom. But anyhow, he talked about infinite intelligence being three-part, and also Holmes talks about the triune nature of God. So this is not something that's unique to Troward. And he refers to them as spirit, mind, and unformed substance. So you could compare it to something like the H2 molecules, which have different form depending upon their vibratory rate.
Yes.
So you've got water, which can be used to rinse your vegetables or take a shower. Steam, you can use to cook food or maybe clean off your car engine if you're so inclined. Or ice, which is the slowest form of water that there is, and that can be used to freeze food, to slow other things down as well. So that's interesting. And of course, getting back to the triune nature of God, spirit is the very highest vibration, and what it does is it selects what it wants done. And I'm using human terms here, but it kind of makes choices and it makes decisions. And these decisions, of course, are not visible to those of us until they become some kind of formed substance. And so it could become a body or some other thing that you're seeing, like walls, planets, stars. So I started thinking a lot about this primary unformed substance and how it fit in the big picture, because when you look at the teaching symbol there, we've got the three levels. You've got spirit, law, and the material world. And so he calls that material world the primary unformed substance, which means that it's not really anything until you put the other parts into it. So the analogy that I got was that it's like God's Play-Doh.
Okay.
I'm really
great.
Sorry.
I like that.
Yeah, but
you
hand me a can of Play-Doh, and my first thing is delight, because maybe it's bright pink or something like that. And so what do? I start shaping it a little bit and making things, and then I decide I don't like it, so I put it in a ball again and reshape it, and then that the idea of unformed substance became clearer to me, because really, until we put our minds into action, we have just a can of Play-Doh, but it could be a vase or something practical, so we take it from there. So but it's one of these things where we talk about this a lot, you know, your thoughts create, but you know, maybe you could take this a step further and just think our mind creates Play-Doh, and we can shape it into whatever we want. So, you know, one of the things that, that Chaucer says over and over again is the reason that, that spirit, which was the first starting point, creates is because it wants to. It likes to.
Because it's there.
Because it's there and it can. Right. And so he talks about, you know, how did life or the world come about? And he talks about the originating mind, which is spirit, acting upon itself for self-contemplation. Now, bear with me. What he's saying is, at this time, there's no such thing as time, space, or matter. So the can of Plato has not arrived. So apparently there was this act of self-contemplation. So it would be like me sitting here and looking at the color of my blue jeans and wondering if I need to replace them or something like that, which gives birth to other things. So that in a nutshell kind of explains how that moment came about, although I wasn't there, so. Or maybe I was.
I saw you there.
So it was interesting. One of the properties, they sound like the properties of God, of this originating mind. Life, love, light, power, peace, beauty, and joy. And they remind me of the qualities of God, which is the subject of our first year in study group. That was our topics, was the qualities of God. So I'm going to kind of diverge here and talk a little bit about how I was able to use this yesterday. I meet my father once a month during the fall, winter, and spring in New York, and we go to the opera. We have lunch, and then we go to the opera, and then sometimes we'll stay the whole weekend and go hear other music or whatever, and it keeps him active. It keeps him engaged in doing something that other than, you know, reading or whatever. And you know, one thing you need to know about my dad is he's very, very precise. He is always on time, and he's very good about keeping his word. So yesterday I arrived in New York and I waited for him. We were going to meet at about 11:30. He comes in from Connecticut in a limousine and he gets dropped off because he doesn't want to take the walk from Grand Central over to Lincoln Center anymore. So he takes a limo in and it was 11:30, then it was 12. And then I'm sitting in my seat at the opera, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. Because he and I had talked about this before. If for some reason one of us gets stuck, we'll follow the routine, and then we'll meet it up at our seats. Well, he wasn't there in his seat. And so I called my sister. Now, my sister and I can go down the worry path really easily. And but I was concerned. It's not like my father to not show up at all. So my sister's concerned because she didn't know anything about this. And she would have been the last one to have seen him before he would have gotten on the limo. And so she said, let me do some calling around. And so we, you know, I said, I'll call you back in intermission. So I listened to the first part of the opera. It was great opera, by the way. Placido Domingo was supposed to be performing, but he called in sick that day. And it was still a wonderful, wonderful opera. And so at intermission, I found out that the limo driver, on whom he's depended for several years, had to have emergency surgery. And his replacement apparently never showed up. Right. So we've been on my dad's case for a long time. He has a cell phone. Just use it, Dad. These are the types of occasions that we need a cell phone for. But before the first intermission, and I found out that all he'd done was gone across the bookstore to the bookstore and the mall, and he was having a great time all by himself. I was, you know, the first act of the opera was a little hard for me because I was, you know, in my mind I was going down, okay, did they have a wreck on the Connecticut Turnpike? you know, did he get lost? Did he never make it down to get picked up by the limo? And I could feel myself creating thoughts. I wasn't enjoying the opera particularly, and I was feeling kind of upset. So, and he is in his mid to late 80s, so I, you know, good reason to worry, I guess. So anyhow, then I remembered, okay, life, love, light, power, peace, beauty, and joy. Which one of these is occupying my thoughts right now? And I thought, well, what if I didn't worry? I mean, it isn't going to change the situation. If he's dead for some reason, I'll call Connie and let her know I'm not going to be able to make it for the talk. I just worked my way into, you know, thinking about those particular qualities of spirit, and I started feeling a lot better. I stopped worrying about my dad because I realized I had no control over him or his actions, and I was there at the opera and I wanted to enjoy it, which I did. So, you know, this is just maybe you guys don't go to the opera as much as I do, but...
I enjoy opera.
All right. So this talk is for you.
Yes.
But these are all thoughts that we can have at any point in time. Kind of like, you know, the sun is always out. It's just that sometimes you can't see it because of clouds. But those same things, all those qualities of God are always there within us because we are one of the unformed substances that's also spirit as well. And so all of those qualities are available to us if we choose them. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of my take on part of the creative process. And the good news is Connie is going to cover the rest of the chapter. Later on in the month. So what does this have to do with our lives and treatment? Well, a lot of it has to do with choice and remembering that there is that power in the universe that's available to us at any moment. Any moment. And we should never forget that. So I'm going to close with the treatment that Dr. Bales put into the end of this chapter. This is a treatment for general good. I know that my word is the word of power. I definitely speak my word to set infinite law into action. It follows the perfect pattern of my body, my business, my personal relationships. I shall be a blessing to everyone I meet this day. I know that I can meet any experience successfully, that I neither fear nor expect evil. I now fill my horizons with the expectancy of the good. I will live expectantly, knowing that my good awaits me at every point and at every minute this day. I know that I will dwell in the sunlight of the healing presence forever. I declare this to be the truth for all those whose hearts are tuned to the right action this day. And so it is.
And so it is.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yay.
Good job.